Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Love of the Star podcast on Monday, March 31st, the final day of the month of March before we barrel into draft month. Brian Broaddus just over now 3 weeks away from the start of the 2025 NFL draft. This is fantastic. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. Brian Broaddus, the Super Bowl champion and draft expert. This is your time, Broaddus. This is a beautiful, beautiful situation. We have NFL owners meetings going on right now, and we are all eyes on draft day. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Eric. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm down to really the last, say, 15 to 20 guys that I'm going to look at for this year's draft. The biggest fear you have is that Puka Nacua situation where you do 215 players, you do probably 30 wide receivers, and not one of them is named Puka Nacua. So, it's for the media scout, you can't get them all, but you'd sure like to have the guys that are making the rookie of the year when you're looking at your draft. But you mentioned it. We've got the NFL owners meetings going on down at the Breakers. Stephen Jones down there talking about things with Micah Parsons in mind, maybe some other stuff going on as well with Bland and Ferguson. So this never stops. But yeah, we're into that month where there's going to be a lot of discussion though going in about this draft.
No question. We have plenty of draft conversation to get to coming up here on today's episode. But I did kind of want to start there, Broaddus, in the world of the NFL owners meetings and hearing Stephen Jones talking about what the Cowboys are up to at the moment. And he didn't really like the idea of us talking about him and the Cowboys being late to the party when it comes to their big contracts. And that was one of the questions that was asked, because of course Micah Parsons, we're still waiting that deal to get done. The numbers have just gone up and up and up, and now Micah's talking about being a $200 million man, and rightfully so. And the Jones is one of the things that we've lamented over the last few years for sure, is just how they wait on their big contracts. They've done it with Dak. Mm-hmm. They did it with CeeDee Lamb. Now they're doing it with Micah Parsons. And Stephen Jones kind of pushed back on the notion that they wait too long, despite the fact that he's also on record talking about how they waited too long on Dak in the past to get his deals done. So that was one of the things that people were kind of playing gotcha with Stephen Jones on. Like, man, you can't complain about the narrative about the way you guys wait on your big money contracts, because he's been on record in the past talking about how they've waited too long when it comes to signing Dak Prescott. He says a lot of it is just the negotiation itself. Some of them take longer than others, and we put zero credibility or credence into people saying that we wait too long. So that was one of the ones that Cowboys Twitter was having some fun with over the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. The thing that, this is the question then that I would have for Stephen Jones, and maybe this is a league-wide problem, is that, where is your ability to anticipate other contracts in the market then? We really didn't see what was – now, as a media, I don't think we saw what was going to happen at Cleveland with Myles Garrett. I don't think that that one looked like either trade me or I ain't playing. That didn't sound like a contract extension there. That sounded like a play me or trade me, or trade me or, or I'm not going to play. The Crosby one, that one you kind of had a feeling that maybe that was going to come down the pike with the way that he's played, the high level he's played. I'll say this. I think this is where Dallas has an issue, and maybe other teams have the same issue. I don't think Dallas anticipates other contracts to get ahead of the game. And I understand teams are really tied into what they're doing with their own clubs, but I think there has to be a level of being able to have good intelligence. And I mean intelligence intelligence in a way of with the agent community. What is happening around us? You know, what potential contracts could be a detriment to us? What contracts could affect our game? Steven, you don't like when the questions get asked about delay. Do you guys get, and we use the word paralyzed, but do you guys get thrown off track when the Raiders make a deal, when the Browns make a deal? Does that throw you off your track? And now are you shocked, surprised, paralyzed? You know, that's what I would like to know. I think in this game of contracts, you need to have a handle on what potentially could happen with other teams around you. You know, you need to have a handle when you were dealing with CeeDee Lamb, what was going on at Minnesota, what was going on at Cincinnati. You know, you need Dak Prescott. You needed to have a handle on what was going on in San Francisco and some of these other places that have paid their quarterbacks. But Buffalo, you needed to have a handle. Somehow, some way, you needed to kind of figure out, wow, what are they about to do with Josh Allen? Do we need to think about a similar plan of attack? Wow, what are they going to do with Jefferson or Chase? What are they going to do with those guys? Do we need to have a handle on that? You know, what are teams going to do at cornerback? So when we're dealing with Diggs and, you know, the Osa deal is a great deal for them. They caught an agent that was willing to go below market value for their player. That's how that deal gets done right there. And I'm sure there's somebody that's going to listen to this and clip what I just said, but it's the absolute truth. They found an agent that was willing to deal with them at this level. If I'm Mulugeta and I'm looking at Micah Parsons' deal, history tells me that you will pay top dollar. It just tells me that's history, because there's no like, oh, we got ahead of the Raiders. Oh, we got ahead of the Browns here. Oh, we got ahead of the Bills here. You know, you tell me that, you know, is that a problem? Because I think you have to have intelligence around the league of what's about to happen, so you don't get caught in the situation where all of a sudden you're trying to get Tyler Smith paid. You're trying to get Bland paid. You know, why, teams are signing deals and all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. Why didn't we think of that? Why did we not do that deal? Why are we paying $5 to $7 million more a year than the Buffalo Bills are? See, to me, he could talk about being slow to react. I wonder if it's just slow to realize what's going on around the league. That would be my question.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And the Cowboys have not been very forward thinking when it comes to contracts or the way they build their football team or the type of coaching staff that they want to bring in. Like everything, they're always late to the party on anything from an NFL trend standpoint. So it's not really a surprise. When you mentioned Myles Garrett, yeah, we were all surprised that he ended up remaining with the Browns for that huge deal that he got. But knowing that Myles Garrett was trying to initially get out of Cleveland and be traded, we all know that if he would have been traded, he would have gotten a new deal with that team anyways. It would have been trade for Myles Garrett and then pay him a new contract. There so one way or another, Myles Garrett was going to get, now the number jumped so significantly from like $35 million per year to then to $40 million per year. And so maybe that was a bit of a surprise, just how
it's
much
jarring. It was just jarring to them. Yeah. That like, whoa, what just happened? You know? I mean, see, so that's what I'm saying. If you could have got in and having an understanding of like, okay, we're going to offer $30 million, but the thing goes to 40. Now you're, now you're like, whoa, what just happened? But having an anticipation, maybe I'll give him a pass for the Myles Garrett one just because it's Cleveland. But you get my point that you're not as these deals are rolling off, you're not getting it done. Now Cincinnati, I mean, I mentioned about their situation with Chase and all that. I mean, you know, hey, that's the Cowboys kind of fit right in that one. You know, got CeeDee done when they need to get CeeDee Lamb done. But I kind of feel like that they don't have a handle on what's going on around the league. And then when they see or hear the number that somebody gets, it's jarring to them. Like, whoa, what did we just, whoa, what just happened? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that might be their biggest problem, that they think they got a handle, but they really, really don't have a handle.
Yeah, and I wonder how much they even care, because I think there's a part of them that loves just having the conversation about, I mean, how long were we talking about Dak Prescott and his contract? How long were we talking about CeeDee Lamb and his contract? And now we're doing the same thing with Micah Parsons, and it allows them to stay in the headlines and stay in the offseason conversation when there's not always a ton going on, especially with the way they do free agency. There's not much to talk about from that standpoint, but we're talking all offseason, and we've done it with Dak, we've done it with CeeDee Lamb, and now we're doing it with Micah. And I think Jerry in particular loves that we're talking about it. And ultimately, yeah, he knows he's just going to pay the guys like Micah Parsons, the guys like CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. He's going to end up paying them, you know, market setting money, whatever it is they end up wanting. And that's the other thing. Like you mentioned, the agent and Mulligetta, the agent for Micah Parsons, and he's obviously one of the best in the sport now. I mean, he's raking it in. He's getting deals done left and right, big money deals for his clients. And he knows that it's not like the Cowboys waited out, and then the agent and the player get a little bit scared, like, oh no, we're not going to get the deal that we want. So they just signed something. It's not like the Cowboys waited out and then win the deal. Wait it out, and then the player always wins the deal. So there's no concern for an agent if you don't feel like, oh, we got to get in there and get something done, because when the Cowboys wait these things out, they end up getting the type of deal that's more favorable for the team. The players always get the deal. So even if they have to miss training camp or whatever it is, the longer they wait, they know we're going to get the deal that we want. So there's no track record to say, oh, we got to sign something now.
In recent history, this goes back to, Zeke. You know, it goes back to Zeke.
Absolutely.
And then it went from Zeke to Zach Martin, and then it went from Zach Martin to CeeDee Lamb. You have created this machine that you can't turn off, and agents know that. And like I said, good for them for finding an agent that they could deal with when it came to Oso Digizua's contract. But there's people in the agent world that are going, damn, why would you sign that deal? You left $6-7 million on the table. You know, when you look at how that deal probably should have gone out for him.
Yeah. And but I mean,
people are waiting. People just wait Dallas out. They just wait them out.
Yeah, I think that was a very special case where Osa was very much so adamant about the fact that he wanted to remain in Dallas. He wanted to remain a Cowboy. I think he knew there were a couple of other teams for sure that would give him more money. Osa, as the player, just was willing to leave money on the table to not have to go to a place like Cleveland or whatever team was interested in him. And so the agent's like, okay, if my player's willing to do this, and he wants, like, more than anything, he wants to just remain with the Cowboys, then fine. But most players aren't like that, especially top of the market monster beast players like a Parsons or a Lamb or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was a very unique situation with Osa, and they capitalized on the fact that the player just really wanted to remain here.
It's very rare. We talk about players that chase championships and all that. It's very rare. We heard we thought Myles Garrett was interested in that. He really wasn't. Not when you offer him $40 million a year. not interested in chasing a championship at Cleveland. Yeah. There's a lot of players that play in this league that don't get a championship. A lot of them. But a lot of them are very well paid, you know? And that's the consolation prize. Which do you want? Do you want to go really cheaply to a team like Philadelphia or Kansas City or one of these teams that's always in the kind of the mix for that? Or Buffalo, Baltimore? You want to go to one of those places? Yeah, you could go cheaply to those places and maybe chase a championship that way. Or you could just make a massive amount of money and have wealth for the rest of your life. I think a lot of guys are just okay. Yeah, the championship sounds great. But you know what? The fact that I have, you know, that the fact that I'm 40 years old and I have, you know, $100 million in the bank is more important to me than that Super Bowl ring that I would have gotten during my career.
Yeah.
I think we're in a day and age where, boy, I want to play in a championship team. There's some guys that really do want to win, but they'll also sacrifice winning for money.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially these days with how big the money is.
No question.
Can't blame a guy like Myles Garrett. Be like, oh, you're going to give me $40 million a year. Sure. All right. I guess we'll go ahead and stick around.
And I'm going to endure a 7-10 season for the next 4 years.
Here we go. Kenny Pickett in Cleveland. Let's party. Now, the other one that you had mentioned, Stephen Jones at the owners' meetings talking about Deron Bland and Jake Ferguson, saying that those are really good football players. We want to keep them around. There are scenarios where we sit down and have a visit with them. You got to have two sides to get a negotiation done. Those two guys. So, if in your mind, Broadus, who's more important to try and get a deal done with to try and get ahead of it? Is it Bland or is it Ferguson for you?
Bland by far. But, you know, and like I say, I think there are corners in this draft that will clearly help your football team. I also think there's tight ends that will help in this draft. You know, if you just want to sacrifice one or the other, I think they need to get Bland done. Because I think there are some legitimate questions about Diggs. You know, I think if they had to do things over, and this is my opinion, not anything I've heard from the Cowboys, my opinion only, I think they would want a mulligan on the Diggs deal. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And you know, and so to me, that, you know, you got a guy that's hadn't played 75% of the snaps the last 2 years. You know, that's big. That is a big thing. So to me, I would be on it about trying to get Bland done. You know, the fact that he shows up, you know, he's had his own share with the foot problem stuff, but he came back, really didn't miss a beat. But you're going to have to address the quarterback position in this draft maybe a couple of times. You know, Carson, I wish Carson would have played better. You know, his injury didn't help him. Missing camp didn't help him. Getting thrown in the deep end of the pool and not being able to swim really hurt him. But hopefully he bounces back. You're going to need him to play well. You're going to need a couple, probably some rookie corners to play well. But you're going to need to get Bland done for the future of this football team. More so than Diggs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Deron Bland, outside of the foot injury that he had to deal with, I do think that Deron Bland is just a more consistent physical player, and I would love for the Cowboys to be able to keep him around. And he's not a guy that's made a lot of money. He wasn't a first round pick. So he just had the injury last season, going into the season. So I think he understands now just the fragility of how quickly things can change for you in the NFL when it comes to the injuries and whatnot. So I feel like Deron Bland, now the cornerback money has gone up. So that makes it a challenge. But I do think he's the type of guy, just guessing based on what we know about the money he's made and the injury. Like, yeah, he's probably a guy that would be grateful to have some long-term security there and maybe not have to reset the market or come super close to that. Now, the other thing Stephen Jones said, keeping the door open for adding more players before the draft, including via trade. He said, we've got several things we're looking at from a trade standpoint, but certainly not to the point where we have a deal yet. And he added that the backup quarterback is still an option in free agency. So, I mean, if you're thinking about a trade for the Cowboys right now, is it Is it the backup quarterback stuff that you're
Joe Milton there? Joe Milton. Yeah. I think they're in on the Joe Milton stuff. Now, I think it's they haven't fully jumped into the pool, but I think they're taking their toe and dipping it in the water and seeing what the temperature is there. And I've got the feeling that the Patriots really don't want to trade Joe Milton, but and it might be because you have a general manager that's trying to make the coaching staff, a new coaching staff, happy. Coaching staff probably come in and said, oh, well, hey, listen, Joe really doesn't fit what we're doing. You know, you got a general manager there that might not want to trade him. You know, I'm hearing some whispers that you could probably have Joe Milton for a fifth round pick. Dallas has got multiple fifth round picks. You know, that might be something that New England would be worth doing. So I think Dallas is dipping their toe in that pool.
All right, you're listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.